Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy. At least some of us are here for Red Energy. Awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy. And across Tasmania for Wilson Homes, who believe in great design, so you'll love being home. Folks, I said some of us will be here because you will not believe what has just happened. Scoop's been tapped on the shoulder by the AFL and said, you must now go and have a COVID test. And I mean, you must go now. I thought we were living in a free democracy, but no, I think we've had plenty of examples that that is not the case. And we have now got another one. Fortunately for us, the chief football writer of the AFL record and one of the great minds behind AFL journalism in Ashley Brown is with us, as he always is, on a Thursday night. Welcome to you, Ash.
Jared, good to be here. Sorry, Sam's not here.
Yes, it's unfortunate, isn't it? Tapped on the shoulder. I assume it wasn't by Gil himself, but one of Gil's minions.
Yes.
said, Scoop, go and get a swab stuck down your nose.
I'm trying to work out who the minion would be. Was it Walshy or Nadine?
No, it wouldn't be Walshy. It wouldn't be. It'd be Lower. Who looks after the...
integrity people?
Yeah, I'd be... Anyway, it doesn't matter, but gee... It's clearly probably evident and evidence that they are very, very concerned about this one case that the cowboy might just make a deal of himself.
Well, you watch these things. It's become clear to me you watch these things much more closely than I do.
Yep.
They shut down the derby on the basis of one case. Yep. So they've changed their thinking for the grand final, the WA government.
Indeed, although... The Derby was shut down because I don't think they had a full handle on it. This particular one, the co-driver has already been tested, negative. He's been tested and isolated. So I think they believe that it has been in control. Now, when you say I follow it, I do follow it very closely, but I must admit I've had a 12-hour hiatus where I haven't found out why this has become so important that Scoop gets tested. Because let's go through it. Scoop gets tested. He's staying on the beach with Jake Nile down at Cottesloe. He goes to the testing facility. He comes back from the testing facility. He may even be on radio before we leave. And then he goes out for dinner. Now, it's not a three-minute test just over there at the present time. So unless he's being told to go get tested and then isolate until the grand final... That is the only thing that makes sense.
I would imagine that the AFL is advising pretty much anyone who's there, particularly who's there on their dime, that's it, 48 hours to go, Uber Eats, don't leave the premises, we'll see what the footy
does. That make sense, though? Like there's 50,000 people turning up.
Yeah, but I think they want to control what you can control. Jared, the old Dennis Pagan thing, so at least control what they can control. So they've just been ultra cautious. They'll just be, I mean, Gil, I can't imagine he'll sleep much until... The final sirens like that.
Dare I say it, and I won't dwell on this, but this is almost an I told you so moment. Having the bye was one of the dumber things I've seen the AFL do over the journey.
Yeah.
Now, they'll probably get away with it, but just imagine if two became five, five became ten, the cowboy would slam the gate shut, bang, without any hesitation.
This was the worry with, I mean, I understand the competitive balance reason behind the bye. It was more for the fairness for the Bulldogs, whereas Melbourne had been there for weeks. Melbourne, the Bulldogs quarantining them playing.
I've heard four different excuses for this.
That's the excuse I heard. Yep. But this is the
downside. I've heard the other excuse you've Port Adelaide. No one expected the Bulldogs to win, and we'll get to that. But they thought that Port Adelaide would win. Port Adelaide are in the bubble, the travel bubble, and they thought that 15,000 Port Adelaideans would turn up and spend cash.
Yeah, well, there is that, isn't there?
So. That was the reason that Scoop McClure has divulged on air a couple of times. So I don't think anybody had the Bulldogs in their thinking. And therein lies why I think, and I said this last night at the top of the program, Luke Beveridge is on the cusp of not just greatness, because greatness means many things. I am talking about he moves to almost a giant of the game if he wins this particular premiership. A giant of the Dogs, certainly. And I would like his historical knowledge to actually put into perspective what a win for Luke Beveridge would do. Now, bear in mind, he would be the only bloke ever to have coached two premierships with eight games where not one game he's been the favourite. This year, he's had to travel to Launceston, to Brisbane, to Port Adelaide, all against the odds, and he turns up. And let's say he beats Melbourne again against the odds. Where does he sit in the Hall of Fame of greatness for the Dogs? And where does he sit? Because I can't remember another coach who has done that twice.
I've been fortunate in terms of people talk about with the record. We do a Premier's magazine that comes out celebrating the winning team. So I've had to do a lot of pre-writing beforehand. So I walked through with Amit Baines, the CEO of the Dogs. He walked me through pretty much everything that's happened to them day by day since Tasmania. It is incredible.
It is.
The hurdles they have overcome. That's why, in a way, I hope, if I'm barracking for the yarn in this grand final, I actually hope the Bulldogs win in a way, because I want to be able to tell this story publicly. Yes.
Well, you should tell it anyway, because the hoops they are great already.
The hoops they've been made to jump through, how difficult Queensland was for them, how difficult South Australia was, and even Tasmania. Some of the stuff that happened in Tasmania hasn't been wildly reported as well. For them to overcome all that and win this grand final will be just incredible. In answer to your question, Jared, I think it puts him up there. He becomes one of the greatest figures. He's up there with EJ. He's up there with Charlie Sutton.
I know he's up there, but is he actually ahead?
One of you goes ahead of EJ because of the 20 years of EJ as the great, as club's greatest player. But, geez, he becomes a giant of that football club with a win on Saturday.
So EJ, just has to be. EJ was final. many best and fairest, one premiership. Charlie Sutton was he captain coach of 54?
54, yep.
So a giant. I mean, this bloke is two premierships.
Well, two premierships, doesn't it? It elevates him past Sutton, probably takes him past Charlie Sutton. Up there with EJ. EJ was 20. He's also one of the great. He was also the greatest player in the game for a lot of the time he played for the Bulldogs. So I don't think he goes past EJ. Probably goes past Charlie Sutton. In terms of, I don't think a player with the Bulldogs has made a greater contribution. They've had some great players. I'm not sure they've had a player other than EJ who's made a greater contribution to the club. So he might be in the quinella with.
If you took EJ's greatness off the field away from it, as somebody put to me today, do you think then that his legacy would be slightly less gigantic, and therefore we'd get an easier perspective on where Beveridge sits in comparison to him? And I'm talking about somebody like Jake Nile, who does think these things through. You still got EJ 1?
I've got EJ 1. He was the Bulldogs. I mean, they called him Mr. Football. He was also Mr. Footscray. So I don't think he goes past EJ, but you can make the case he's greater figure now than Charlie Sutton.
Now, I know this isn't a true broad sample, but I went and got myself double vaxxed today, and I've come up with a couple of sayings. Relax, double vaxxed, or just simply, to any resistance, go and get vaxxed. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is simply this. I went to Droop Street to see my old club doctor at Demonland, Jake Landsberger, and I didn't see a Bulldog flag. Droop Street is in the heart of Footscray. I didn't go through Barclay Street and I didn't go through the heart of Bulldogs, but I skirted it. I went past Footscray High School. I went up and down Flemington Road. I didn't see one Bulldogs flag.
That's because they've become gentrified, the Dogs. It's the great, they're the team, they really are. It's the vision of David Smorgon. They're the team of the Western suburbs, not Footscray. They've gone beyond Footscray. It's, if you go past the Bulldogs, past Footscray down into Seddon, Yarraville, then out to Werribee, Melton, that whole area, that's the Bulldogs' heartland these days.
We discussed
the suburb itself. I was
staggered. We did some, we discussed this at the top of the program, and it shocked me.
Yeah, I think it's the team in the region, not the suburb now.
No, okay, that's fair enough too. And you're right, it's been very much gentrified and there's probably a lot of round ball fans over there and maybe they've lost some of their love of the local team.
Well, the great story that was written by, I think, Mick Leeston's story is the preponderance of private schoolboys. It used to be Simon Beasley was the outlier.
That's right.
For the private schoolboy, even though he's from Perth.
So who's the number one? It'd be Bailey Smith, suppose. He's a Xavier boy.
Xavier, superstar. So he's beat, but there's a whole stack of them now.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a couple of St. Kevin's boys. Liberatore's a St. Kevin's boy, and there's one or two.
There was the ruckman, the big ruckman who was a stockbroker, not Beasley. He's a big ruckman.
Andrew Purser.
That's it. He was a WA. Yeah, he was an outlier.
Yeah, that's right. But They're a different breed, the Bulldogs, to what they used to be.
Yeah, well, maybe take some talk back tomorrow night when we talk to Douglas Hawkins about why there isn't too many flags out that way. You're a bit disappointed about the grand final marathon being no more?
Yeah, well, it wasn't a tradition. If you know, stay up all night on Channel 7 and watch, that just shows really how times have changed, I guess, that... I had a look casually the other day at the TV guide and thought, oh, maybe if I'm staying up late, I'll watch a couple of old grand finals to get in the mood, and particularly when you can sleep in now on Saturday morning, given the game's not till the evening. But no more.
Did you check the Fox Footy guide?
Well, I know Fox Footy ran them last weekend, and that was I tweeted about that. I mean, I thought the recency bias of the top of the Fox Footy greatest grand final list was quite obvious. I mean, it didn't have 66.
Yeah. Pick up sticks.
Didn't have 70.
Hit the boundary. Yeah.
Didn't have 67, which is pretty good.
70. What comes to mind?
71.
What comes to mind at 70?
Handball.
No, Jezelenko, beauty.
Jezelenko, beauty. So didn't have that. A little bit disappointed with the... didn't have the 77 draw, Jared.
Well, I suspect the reason they didn't have it was because I suspect Fox don't own the rights to it.
The old Fox. Really.
I think AFL Media or AFL Films owns it, and it's been. Didn't David Barham own that at one stage?
David Barham's had AFL Films, and the old AFL Media is actually conglomeration of about four different companies that the AFL bought because they decided to bring all the media IP under one roof. Jeff Slattery's business was part of it as well.
So. I'll bet you it's because Fox haven't got the rights to those particular games. Why wouldn't you show Collingwood Carlton great grand final? Or a Collingwood North Melbourne great grand final? Two of them, in fact. We'll find out. I'll get some research on that. In fact, I'll text Leroy Loggins and see if that's the case. He probably won't want to answer. The news week in this city, the daily protests, the earthquakes and the grand final in Perth. It's been a different week, hasn't it? It's almost been an embarrassing week. Well, not almost. It's been an embarrassing week us proud Melbourneites.
It's been a bad week. And then to look over to Perth with the grand final. Do you think the events of yesterday would have happened if it had been grand final week in Melbourne?
Well, obviously the answer to that is no, because if we had a grand final, we wouldn't be locking out the construction industry. Mm. So I think the question you're asking is, would a distraction of that amount or significance sort of shut down any potential demonstration that got so far out of hand? And I think the answer to that is yes. Mm. But we are in very strange times. I mean, this notion of vaccination is very much divisive. I'm very much a pro-choice person.
I want to talk to you about your double vax. I've written a piece for the grand final record.
Yeah.
AFL's three big decisions to make around vaccinations. At what level does it enforce it at the elite level?
Yeah.
At what level does it enforce it at grassroots, given it is the keeper of football at every level in the country? And at what level does it enforce it for spectators next year? No vax, no jab, no entry to the footy next year. Is that a reasonable thing for the AFL to take on board?
I think it is. I think it is. You know, the only people I feel some sympathy for, and I think there needs to be a way to help them out, are those who are
medically, of course,
justified in not taking it. For those who just feel it's an evil thing that they're putting in their body, or the usual stuff that you hear from the hardcore anti-vaxxers, well then, I think that's fine. If you want to go down that, I don't think you can tell people how to live their lives outside of, if you want to do that, well, then that's fine. But you can't get on an aeroplane. You can't go to the footy. You can't do this. You can't do that. And that's going to be, in some people's minds, very, very unfair.
But it's also
unfair that the AFL may get shut down because of anti-vax, or the whole community may get shut down because we've got so many percentage of the 20% of people who aren't getting vaccinated blocking up the hospital system. It's a very difficult argument. I understand that. I'm very much pro-choice. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. But sort of don't come running to us if you're in hospital.
Do you think the AFL, and the AFL wisely, I think, has just kept fairly quiet on policy. But do you think the AFL, and I believe it was discussed at the commission meeting in Perth this week, do you think the AFL from Monday needs to come out and say something?
Oh, I don't think it necessarily has to be Monday. I think at some stage soon, set some expectations
around. Don't forget, AFLW is 3 months away, Jared.
No, it's a fair point.
They've got to set some expectations in the community, I think.
But I think there is also a method that you can at some stage just sit one back, one what is it?
One out, one back.
One out, one back. And this debate can go on, and somebody can do the emotive work for you. I mean, when Qantas came out and said you need to be vaccinated, it was fairly groundbreaking, but it went away pretty quickly. Just like when Ms. Hardliker came out and said, well, people are going to die. We've got to open up the cities. She's the chairman of Virgin. And yet the reality is that was probably a month early, because the reality is then premiers came out and said the same thing 6 or 8 weeks later. I mean, that is the reality. People are going to die when we open up the country.
The AFL's in that position now. Also, it can let Cricket Australia and Tennis Australia, to a degree,
do the battle
and see how it plays out.
I know that up north, a couple of the stadia are well and truly down the track of having a no jab, no entry philosophy. Now, it hasn't hit the airwaves yet, but take it to the bank. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah, well, and what happens in Melbourne, it bears watching. I'd like to see the AFL come out, not Monday, but at some stage, and set some, this is what we're thinking for next season. Give people notice. Yep. Don't spring it on us 2 weeks before the start of the season. Well, she just...
Yep. You know, well, the interesting thing will be how the Players Association deal with it, because they're always pre-choice, 100% pro-choice. And sometimes I think that they've got to look at the bigger picture more than they do. And sometimes the individual rights have to take second position to the greater society's rights. And if Qantas don't allow you to fly and Virgin don't allow you to fly, you're playing in a national competition. Well, if you don't want to get vaccinated, that's fine. But if you can't fly, you can't play. You better have a think about the outcomes of your strong health position.
Yeah, I'm also keen to see whether a player comes out. There's been in America, there's been a few, whether a player's going to come out as a prominent anti-vaxxer. I read somewhere that there are some who might be prepared to come out and say something. It'll be fascinating to see how that plays out in the court of public opinion.
Media have been waiting for someone to come out for a long, long time in lots of different areas. We're going to take a break more with Ashley Brown after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. Shortly, injured Western Bulldogs for Josh Bruce is going to join us, but Ashley Brown is still with us. You better tell us exactly what's in the grand final edition, Ash, because I've got a couple of other things to tick off before you leave us.
260 pages of
260
great,
pages.
Biggest
that's
one
a
ever.
Book.
Hutchie's been out selling lots of ads, and a lot of West Australian ads in the record. So it's our biggest one ever. It's the usual. It's
what's your favourite topic? What's your favourite piece?
My favourite piece would be I was asked to nominate the 10 greatest grand final moments that I have seen or experienced, which I enjoyed, starting from 1970 through to Dusty last year, which I enjoyed putting together. I always enjoy writing the match preview and really sinking my teeth into who's going to win and why.
Well, tell us who's going to win and why.
Melbourne by 10 points.
And why?
Just been the best team all year.
Right.
I had an answer for pretty much everything. So.
Okay. I don't disagree with that particular outlook. I think there's two outcomes only, and that is it's a close game and either side can win, or it's a blowout and Melbourne wins.
Yeah, it could be one of those ones. We talked about the Bulldogs and what they've been through. It might just all get too hard for them in the third quarter if they're struggling, but after such a rigorous campaign. But it could also be one of the great ones.
Yeah, it could be. I'm really fascinated to see what Beveridge throws, because I don't think Goodwood's going to throw anything different.
No, he hasn't all year. This is what you know what you're going to get with Melbourne.
Yeah, but I think Luke Beveridge has got the capacity to come up with things that challenge Simon Goodwin and his coaching panel. Dennis Cometti, one of the greats, his last call this weekend.
Well, the law of unintended consequences. He gets to call his last ever game of football is a grand final in his city he loves, in the media centre for which he is named. It's a perfect ending to just one of the best football media careers anyone could hope for.
Yep.
Someone that you've worked with him for a long time. I've dealt with him on and off, and he's just one of the great people.
Yeah, in fact, if I can, I might try and get him on air tomorrow night. That would be fantastic. Although I must admit, Lawrence of Arabia has had a gutful of how many people I've wanted to get on air this particular week, and he's done a great job getting 90% of them. Well, that just about wraps it up. Ash, you've been fantastic right throughout. Of course, I know Trade Radio's kicked off and all of a sudden the big trade stories start to take hold. Are you with us?
I am with you.
I thought you were. I thought you'd signed up a 52-week contract.
I'm not going. Well, I don't have a 52-week contract with the employer, but I've got one with you. So I'll be back next week.
Fantastic.
If you'll have me, I'm here till the end of the year.
Righto, great stuff. Ashley Brown joining us, and he's another one who thinks the Demons are going to win in a tight one.